I direct your attention to that verse that we read a moment ago together, Psalm 33, verse 12, where the Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." That word blessed in the Hebrew is the same as the Greek word blessed in Matthew chapter 5, in that portion of scripture from the Sermon on the Mount that we know as the Beatitudes. And that word means, it doesn't just mean happy, although it encompasses what we mean by the word happy, but it means favored by God. Favored by God. And what this verse is telling us is for a nation to be favored by God, two things must be true. Number one, the Lord must be, or the God must be their Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And the second thing is that God has chosen them for his inheritance. I want you to notice as we look at this verse that the two things in this verse, one is a given, one is a choice. A nation can't do anything to get God to choose them as their inheritance. That's a choice that God makes. That's a decision that God makes. It's an act of God. It's a result of the grace of God. It's a given. Nothing we can do to get God to choose us as his inheritance. But the choice to make God our Lord is our choice. That's a decision that we must make, that we will make God our Lord. Now, let me tell you quickly that the word nation is a word like the word church. A lot of people, when they think of the word church, they think of a building like this. This is not the church. This is a building that the church meets in. We are the church. The church is a called out group of believers. And we were just as much of a church when we were meeting in the Masonic Temple when we first got started as we are today in this building. There are a lot of churches this morning that are meeting in storefronts, that are meeting in gymnasiums, that are meeting in schools or banquet halls. And they are just as much a church as we are today. And so the word nation is a word like that. Usually when we think of the word nation, we think of geography. And so when we think of the United States of America, we think of the 50 states and the territories that make up this nation. But a nation is not a land. A nation is not a continent. A nation is a group of people. And so the United States of America is not the geography that we occupy. The United States of America are the citizens that belong to this country. Let me just give you an example. The nation of Israel was a nation a long time before they got to the Promised Land. They were a nation a long time before they came into the land of Canaan. They were a nation when they spent 430 years as slaves in Egypt. They were a nation when they spent 40 years wandering through the wilderness. They were a nation when they arrived in the land of Canaan, as just as much as they were a nation when they were driven out from that land because of their disobedience. And so a nation is a people. Now, Israel is a good example. And by the way, this is my introduction. I'll get to my sermon in just a minute. I just have a two-point sermon this morning. It'll go pretty quick when I get there. Problem is, it'll take me a while to get there. But the nation of Israel is a good example of how Psalm 33, verse 12, works. First of all, they were chosen by God of all the nations in the earth to be his people, to be of his inheritance. When God chose Abraham and all of his descendants, he did that not because they were the biggest nation, not because they were the best nation, but God chose Abraham and his descendants to be his people as an act of grace, as an act of mercy, as an act of God. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, "The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people. for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, he chose you. And so again, blessed is the nation. And I'm using the nation of Israel as an example. I'll get to us in just a second. But they had the opportunity to be blessed by God because he chose them as a nation. He chose them as his inheritance. But just like the verse says, that part was a given. There's a part that they had to make a choice for. They had to make the choice that God was going to be their Lord. They were chosen by God, a given. They had to choose, am I going to make God my Lord? And that verse in Psalm says, blessed, favored by God is the nation who he has chosen for his inheritance and has chosen him to be their God. We can look back at the nation of Israel. In fact, we've just finished up a study of the book of Judges. But we can look back at the nation of Israel and we see time after time after time when they chose God to be their Lord, they were blessed, favored by God. And then when they turned away from him and chose others to be their Lord, then the favor of God was removed from their land. He no longer blessed them with bountiful crops. He no longer blessed them with bountiful herds. He no longer blessed them with his presence. He withdrew his presence from them. They were still his people. They still were his chosen nation, but they were not favored by him because they did not make the choice to choose him as their Lord. Now this morning, I submit to you that we as a nation, we as a people, because a nation, again, is not geography, it's us. That we as a nation have the opportunity, just like Israel did, to be blessed, to be favored by God. Because number one, God has chosen us to be his people. He has chosen us to share in his inheritance. Now, before you say, well, preacher, your national pride is showing, you mean God has chosen America over all other nations on the earth to be his people? No. But God has chosen each one of us as individuals to share in his inheritance. You see, we share in somebody's inheritance when we become part of their family. I can remember before my dad died, my brother and I were sitting in the room with him, and he was giving us, he often did this as he approached his last days, but he wanted to make sure that we would take care of our mom. And he says, you know, I've worked hard all my life. I've saved. I've scrimped. You boys did without things when you were growing up. He said, I did that on purpose so that when I came to this point in my life, I could leave your mother enough money that you could help take care of her. And then he said, you know, when your mom goes, if there's anything left, you can have it. And I remember my brother on that occasion talking about a lady that he knew who was 93 years old, who had 10 children, who had all died before her except for one. She had one son left, and he had cancer and was about to pass on the scene. And my brother made a sort of sarcastic comment to my dad, yeah, we'll probably be gone before mom goes. And my dad said, serves you right. And so we tell my mom all the time now, spend all this money because we don't want dad haunting us about this inheritance. But if there's anything left, my brothers and I will get to share in the inheritance of my parents because I am part of their family. Now, God has chosen each one of us, not because we are Americans, not because we are good, not because we are the biggest group of people, but God has chosen each person, each one of us in this room, each person that has ever lived on the face of this world, God has chosen us to be part of his family, to share in his inheritance. It was nothing that we did that caused him to make that choice. It was not because he looked at us and said, hey, they're, that's a good person. Or that's a magnanimous person. That's a person that helps the poor. That's a person that helps the weak. That's a person that helps take care of the widows and helps take care of the orphans. All those are good things to do. But that in no way affected God choosing us to be part of His family, choosing us to share in His inheritance. It was an act of God. It was an act of grace. It was an act of mercy that God has chosen each one of us to be part of His family. The Bible says the Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I want you to understand this morning, as an individual, that God has chosen you. I know He loves the whole world. And I know He sent Jesus to die for the whole world. But I want you to understand this morning that He has chosen you to be part of His family. You see, I didn't get to choose my parents. My parents did not get to choose their kids. I think they would have picked two out of the three. The other one, I'm not sure about if they would have picked him or not. One of my brothers, by the way, not me, but anyhow. We don't get to pick. We don't get to pick. But God has chosen us. He has picked us. Now again, just like I said in Sunday school, sometimes I'm overwhelmed by this fact that the Creator of the universe, the one who spoke everything into existence, the one who still holds it all together today, chose me. He chose me to be part of His family. He chose me to share in His inheritance. He chose me. And by the way, He chose you. He chose you. Again, not because He could look down and see something good that we have done. Not because He could look down and see what kind of person we were. An act of grace, an act of mercy. He chose us. That's why the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's why the Bible says that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why the Bible says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. See, if the truth be known, we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Again, make it real easy. Don't raise your hands. But how many could say this morning, preacher, I've never told a lie? Don't raise your hands. You'd be lying if you raised your hand. How many of you can say this morning, I've always honored my mom and dad and everything that I've done? You see, those are two of the Ten Commandments. The Bible says if we break one, we're guilty of all. So if I told a lie, even though it might have been just a little one, or if I disrespected my parents or did not obey my parents, I did not honor them, so I'm a sinner, I've broken one of the Ten Commandments. The Bible says there's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death, not physical death, but spiritual death, being separated from God. And I stand under that condemnation from God, but God chose me to be part of His family. He had to make a way to pay for my sin and for your sin. And the way that He chose was to send His perfect, sinless Son to live among us for 33 and a half years to teach us about God, about heaven, about eternity. And then He allowed us to take His Son, who was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And as we hung Him on the cross, God took every one of my sins and God took every one of your sins, put them on His Son, and when Jesus died on Calvary, He paid for every sin. You see, there's nothing that I can do on my own to be part of the family of God. It was only an act of God that gives me the opportunity to do that. But you see, I got to take it. That verse says, but as many as received Him, Jesus, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, to become part of His family. He leaves that choice up to me. He invites me to come. He encourages me to come. He made it possible for me to come. He sends the Holy Spirit to woo me to the Savior, but I still have to make the choice myself. I still have to decide that I want to receive Christ, that I want to be part of God's family, that I want to share in His inheritance. I remember, you remember when the Toons were here, Brother Clint? Ricky and Gail, and I remember there was an occasion where, I don't know if you were talking to them about including them in your will, but I remember Chris, your only child, got a little worried, said, I'm afraid Dad's going to leave some of my inheritance to them. I think she was just kidding. I don't know if you were kidding her or not, but no, she wasn't kidding. No. But I tell you something, my dad may leave me a few bucks. I don't care if he does or not. I don't care if I'm included in his will or not, but I want to be included in the inheritance of God. A joint heir with Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, that's how you get it on His inheritance. He's chosen you. All you got to do is say yes to Him. Yes to Him. And so, because He's chosen us and given us that opportunity to be part of His family and to share in His inheritance, we have the opportunity for His favor, the blessedness that verse talks about. But there's a second choice that we have to make. Not only do we have to say yes to Jesus to make Him our Savior, to share in that inheritance, we have to decide that we are going to make God our Lord. Now, that word Lord talks about somebody who is in absolute control. Absolute control. And so when I decide that I'm going to make God my Lord, what I decide is I'm turning over the reins of my life to Him. I'm turning over the decisions in my life to Him. I'm turning over the desires in my life to Him. I am saying I am emptying myself of my will, and Lord, I am, or God, I am making You the Lord of my life. Now, there are some people that preach lordship salvation. I believe you can be saved without God being the Lord of your life. I believe that you can be on your way to heaven. I believe that you can have your sins forgiven and God not be your Lord. But if we want the favor of God, if we want the blessings of God, then we have to make the decision that He is going to be our Lord. We're going to put Him in charge. We're going to give Him control. We're going to let Him sit behind the steering wheel. However you want to say it, whatever picture you bring to your mind, we need to decide that He is going to be our Lord. Now, there's a couple things that, as we make that decision, that people ought to be able to see in our life. You see, the Bible says faith without works is dead. The Bible says that love without actions is not love. And we can say with our words, God is my Lord, but it needs to show up in our actions. Because if it doesn't show up in our actions, He's not our Lord. Israel could say time after time, yes, God is our Lord. But if you look at their history, so many times they turned away from Him and disobeyed Him and made other gods their Lord. And again, those were the times that He withdrew His hand from His people. He withdrew His blessing. He withdrew His favor. There's a couple things that are going to show up in our lives if He is our Lord. Number one, now I'm to my points. Pretty good introduction, hey? Now I'm to my sermon. Couple points. Number one, if He's our Lord, we're going to be obedient. We're going to do what He says. We're going to live by that book. We're not going to stand before Him and argue as to what's right and what's wrong. We're not going to change the definition. We're going to go to that book, and that book is going to be our guidebook. That book is going to be our rule book. That book we are going to obey. The best way to show that God is our Lord is that we are an obedient people. The Bible says there are two great commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And I submit to you this morning, unless we are living by those two commandments, unless we are obedient to those two commandments, that God has first place in our life, and we love him with all that we are, and that we love our neighbor as ourselves, we are not an obedient people, and God is not our Lord, and we do not expect, should not expect the blessings and favor of God. We need to be obedient. And then number two, quickly, we need to praise him. If he is our Lord, if he's our Lord, we need to praise him. We need to praise him. We need to be a people that are grateful for everything that gives us. And every opportunity that we have, we need to lift his name up in honor and offer praise to him. I like that little chorus that we sing sometimes. Praise him, praise him. Praise him in the morning, praise him at the noontime. Praise him, praise him. Praise him when the sun goes down. We need to praise him. If he is our Lord, we will be obedient. We will praise him. We talked a little bit about it in Sunday school this morning. A lot of people have written off the United States of America. I don't think God's done with us yet. And what God does with this nation does not depend on what goes on out in the world. It depends on what goes on in places like this all over America. If we, as members of his family, if we, as those that bear his name, will make him Lord, he will favor this nation once again. But it all starts right here. It all starts right here. It starts this morning with people that are here that might not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. It starts with you receiving Christ. It starts with you becoming part of his family, becoming part of his inheritance. And then it starts with every Christian making him our Lord. Would you do that this morning? Would you? Our nation needs the blessings of our God. And there's no way we can have them unless we make him our Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the promises, the precious promises that are in it. Most of us this morning have claimed that promise that if we'll call on Christ, he will save us. But perhaps there's some here that have never done that. Perhaps there's some here that are still in their sin. They're still under the condemnation of that sin. They've never come to Christ, never asked Jesus to save them. Father, please this morning help them understand that they are a sinner and there is a penalty for that sin, but that Jesus paid the price in full when he died on Calvary's cross. And if they'd simply come this morning and admit, be willing to admit that they're a sinner and ask Jesus to save them, he would save them, make them part of his family. Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. I pray that we would submit ourselves to you, that we would make you our Lord. Help us to turn our lives over to you. Help us to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. And Father, you direct. Help us to be obedient. Just bless this time of invitation. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts this morning. Do in this place that what we cannot do. Please, you do it this morning. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.